Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler Podcast, Episode 19.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Today on the show, I'll be talking about cruises. Everything from your dress-up formal cruise night to barefoot cruising. Stay tuned for the Amateur Traveler Podcast.
Please take a moment now to make sure that your seatbelt is fastened low and tight about your waist. To fasten the seatbelt, insert the metal tab into the buckle. To release, it's a pulley thing, not a pushy thing, like you're in a car, because you're in an airplane. Hello.
Welcome to the show. It's Sunday morning, November 27th, as I record the show, coming out a little later than usual because my wife and I were down in Monterey and Carmel celebrating our 24th wedding anniversary yesterday. This is probably going to be just a little shorter show today. I only have two news items for you. The first one sounds like something that should have an April 1st byline on it. I've got a link in the show notes to the World Island Project in Dubai. The plan is to design 300 islands off the coast of Dubai. These are islands that are going to be reclaimed from the sea, and they're going to be in the shape of a globe that, when completed, will be visible from space. You've got to check out the picture in the show notes on amateurtraveler.com. The second news item is from Zoom and Go. It's through Business Wire. And basically, the news headline is, Zoom and Go brings thousands of travel clips to users of Apple's hot new video iPod. The website becomes the first to make entire video library iPod compatible. If you check out the links in the show notes or in the enhanced iTunes version, you'll see that Zoom and Go is putting up links to videos all in the iPod format. And what Zoom and Go is, or what Zoom and Go has is this library of, whether it be clips from somebody getting an elephant massage in Thailand or a lot of different hotel reviews that are done in video so you can see what hotels are like, the changing of the guard in London. So check that out, and links in the show notes or in the iTunes enhanced version. As I start the show today, I want to thank Walt of Rochester, New York, who gave me the idea for the show, and actually this is going to be, I hope, a series of shows, probably extending through December, about cruises. And Walt wrote me in response to, I believe it's episode 5 of the Amateur Traveler Podcast, in which I interviewed Bernie Bernstein about his first cruise experience. And Walt wrote and said, among other things, quote, "I have friends who tell me how wonderful cruises are, and that I should really try it, but Mr. Bernstein's review of his cruise just confirmed my prejudices against it. Food and bingo. Okay, great. Maybe someday, but right now, don't think so." Thanks, Walt, because you give me a chance to open up a new subject, and that is different cruise options for different tastes. If your picture of cruising is the same as Walt's have, and that's good to you, there's all sorts of different cruise lines that are available, and you probably heard about them. Holland America, Norwegian Cruise Line, Royal Caribbean Line will all do your food and bingo cruise if that's what you're interested in. But what I want to talk about for the next couple episodes is different cruise options for people who that sounds dreadfully dull. The one I'm going to talk about today, and I want to do this in contrast to, I'm going to contrast two different cruises. I'm going to contrast a cruise on Royal Caribbean, a cruise that we did to Bermuda, which I've mentioned briefly on episode 5, and a cruise that we did to the Caribbean, which we did on Windjammer Barefoot Cruise. Very different cruise experience, so I want to compare and contrast that, and then at the end of the show, I'm going to ask you for your experiences about cruising, and particularly I'm looking for some of the more unusual cruises, and I'll give you an example at the end of the show. So, if your picture of Cruise Line is the ship that holds 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 3,000 even on some of the newer ships, has an inside mall, has shopping, has a theater, has entertainment, has a formal cruise night, then you're not talking about Windjammer Barefoot Cruise. Windjammer Barefoot Cruise is an interesting cruise option for those who are a little more inclined towards adventure or casual. We did this cruise for my 40th birthday. It was my gift to myself and my family on my 40th birthday. Rather than have a big party, we went off and we took a cruise. We took advantage of a sale that they often have for kids cruising free while staying with their parents. And we basically only paid for two cruises for my wife and I. And the Windjammer fleet consists of, I think, 6 vessels these days. And we cruised on what at the time at least was their largest vessel, and that's the SV Legacy, or the Sailing Vessel Legacy. And Sailing Vessel Legacy is a converted French research ship which has been converted into a 4-masting sailing ship. Pictures on the show notes or in the iTunes enhanced version. So if you look at this ship in the harbor, it's a big, tall ship. And you look at it to think of it, you'd think it was an older ship. If you look carefully, you'll notice that it's actually a sail-augmented ship, in the sense that the what looks like masks are indeed masks for all the sails, as well as smokestacks for a more conventional diesel engine in the boat. The ship only holds 110 passengers, so it's not the big cruising experience. So the difference between the two is you still get on board, and Bernie talked about in episode 5, walking on board and having a tour of the boat, and next thing he knew, his daughter and his father were holding a plate of food, and it wasn't even any mealtime. Windjammer is a little different. You first thing you'll notice as you come on board is you'll probably be handed a rum swizzle, which is something that they'll serve in the afternoons. But the next thing you'll do probably is you'll go back to the aft part of the boat and you'll check out snorkel gear. Because this, in general, for most of the people who are on this cruise, is a cruise where they're not going to stay on the boat and play bingo. I don't even think we had bingo. So you're going to get off the boat, you're going to get into the water, probably, if you're on this cruise. Not everybody did. There were some people who we would come back and we would always find them at the bar, no matter what island we were on. But most of the people who are taking this cruise are a little more adventuresome, and they're going to be getting off the boat, and they're going to be doing excursions, and they're going to be getting in the water, and they're going to be snorkeling. And so one of the first things that you do is you get your snorkel gear. And it's that sort of approach to this. In terms of community spaces on the ship, it is a smaller ship because it's only, I think it was a little over 100 feet long. And so basically people are congregating in the small dining room, which is only holding about half of those 110 passengers at a time. You're eating in 2 shifts. So again, it's fairly small. And you're sitting in more booths than tables. You're not going to have your own waiter. You're not going to get, which was a great experience in the other ship. In the other ship, you're going to have 2 waiters who will be with you all week, and you'll have table mates who will sit with you all week, and you'll get to know those table mates. Now, on this ship, you won't sit in assigned seats. You won't have a waiter. You will tend, in fact, to eat at a small buffet. And the food is good, but it's not as plentiful. It's not as fancy. There will be no ice sculptures through the entire week of the cruise. It will be a little more plain food, possibly a little more local food to the islands, and there probably won't be as many options. So if you really are a gourmet and you really love the midnight buffet, this is not the cruise for you. Then you should be back on that other ship, on that bigger ship. If you like having the waiter who's all dressed up, if you like having your companions all dressed up, again, this is not the cruise for you. So by contrast, when we went on the Royal Caribbean cruise, and again, both of these cruises were nice cruises. I like them both, but they're very different styles. We were told we should bring clothes for two formal nights, a couple casual nights, and some smart casual nights. And we said, well, we called up the cruise line and said, what is smart casual? And they said, well, smart casual is no t-shirts, no shorts, no jeans, you know, the sort of things you would wear to work. I happen to work in Silicon Valley, and what I wear to work are t-shirts and jeans and shorts. So for me, a smart casual night is also dressing up. And so, in fact, a casual night, I think, on that ship is dressing up. So when you pack for a Royal Caribbean cruise or one of those similar cruises, you pack more luggage. You need to bring in your garment bag with your suit in it, or rent a tux on the boat, which one of our friends did. And you get some great pictures of you all dressed up, and it's very formal, and it's fun if you enjoy doing that. Now, Windjammer, on the other hand, when you go to dinner, whether it be dinner or lunch or breakfast, whenever you're in the dining room, you probably want to put on a t-shirt over your swimsuit. You don't have to put on shoes. It is, as they said, a barefoot cruise. So the meal is a little more basic, the food is a little more basic, and the atmosphere is a lot more casual. You have no assigned seating because, unlike on the big ship, which has 1,000 people, let's say, you don't need to break into this small group of people to get to know people. You sit with whoever you want to sit with. I don't believe you even necessarily chose one seating or the other, but I don't recall. I think we may have chosen which seating we were going to sit at, but I think there was some flexibility in terms of when you would go to dinner. And you sat down with whoever you felt like talking with, and because there were 110 passengers, you got to know quite a few more people during the week. It gets to be sort of a small community. We happened to go in February, and most of the people who had gone on the cruise, a lot of them had kids, but had left their kids at home. They were still in school, and so they'd left them with friends or relatives. We had taken our kids with us because they were on a winter break and didn't have school that week, and there were two other kids on the whole cruise. That happened to be enough because my daughter, who is very social, had another girl exactly her age, and the two were inseparable the whole week. But in the summer, they would have a larger set of kids, and they would have a kids program. But basically, by the end of the week, these two young girls, and let's see, my daughter is 16, and we took this cruise about 5 years ago. So she was about 10 at the time, 10 or 11 at the time. And these two girls became the unofficial cruise directors for the boat by the time we're done. Everybody could have told you who they were. If not by name, they certainly recognized them. And when the cruise director and the purser, who ran a lot of the social activities, would do something, they would involve these two girls. Because we got to know the cruise director and the purser by name, we would sit down with them at dinner and we would find out about their backgrounds and the other gal who was training to be the cruise director. And that was pretty much the whole social staff. There wasn't any entertainment on the boat that would go with you. There wasn't the comedian night in the theater, because there is no theater. There would be instead crab races where they would get hermit crabs and you would bet on which crab was going to leave the circle first. Or they would be dressed up like a pirate knight. And everything that's a social activity on the ship tends to happen on deck, because there's only the dining room as another shared space. So if you'd be in your cabin, or you'd be in the dining room, or you would be on deck in one of three levels of the deck, or you would be lying in the netting off the bow. So a different experience and a different ambiance, if you will. The other differences between the different experience is that a larger ship takes longer to unload. Obviously, if you go to a port and you're being tendered off, if you're being brought off the boat in small boats rather than being anchored at the dock, then when you're on one of these larger ships, you need to make sure you get out the door as quickly, out your cabin as quickly as possible, because there could be quite a delay getting to shore with the unloading this large number of passengers. With the smaller boat, even if you're in the second or third boat, it doesn't take that many of the tenders to unload the whole boat and all the passengers. So both the ships may decide to tender, or they may decide to tie up at a dock, depending on where you're going. For instance, when we went to the very first island we went to on the Windjammer Barefoot cruise was an island called Buck Island. And Buck Island has, I think Buck Island has absolutely no buildings on it whatsoever. It's a deserted island. So they just tendered people, there's no dock, they just tendered people over to the island, and they brought over some barbecues, I think, and barbecued a lunch on the island. Again, on both cruise experiences, you would expect to find that all of your meals are included. Now, on a fancier cruise ship, I should point out, when Windjammer talks about the fancier cruise ships, they don't say the classy cruise ships or the fancy cruise ships. They call them the foo-foo cruises. So, as Windjammer would say, on the foo-foo cruises, you would have your main dining hall, you'd have some other dining options, and you might also have a high-class restaurant that you would pay for that wouldn't be included. But on the Windjammer, everything is going to be included. And so here on this first island, on Buck Island, they would bring out barbecues out to the island, and they would cook some lunch on the island. Now, we actually did a separate thing on that first day. We went out to Buck Island is in the U.S. Virgin Islands. So we cruised out of St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And Buck Island has an underwater national park. And one of the excursions that you can do is a guided tour out to this underground national park, which is a scuba or a snorkel experience. We did it as a snorkel experience, where you're going along and the signs that tell you what you're looking at are underwater. And you're snorkeling along a path in this underwater national park. So one of the things that's different about the two is that the places that can handle a smaller boat of only 100 passengers, or the waste that's produced from a smaller boat, there are a different number of places. You can go places in a smaller boat, you can't go in a large boat. And when you go in a large boat and the boat empties out and you go on shore, the city is going to be more heavily influenced by the impact of having a cruise ship there. So, for instance, when we were in Bermuda, our first stop in Bermuda was in St. George. And St. George is a lovely little town in Bermuda. And the beach that is closest to the cruise ship is the other side of the island, a very small island. So we walk up through the town and walk over the hill to the first beach that's there. Well, so did everyone else, and the beach was like Coney Island. I mean, it was wall-to-wall people, and so we walked a little further to another beach. But you'll have that cruise ship effect on a larger boat more than you'll have it on a smaller boat. It's just strictly numbers. If you dump 100 people into a town, it doesn't necessarily overwhelm it unless it's a very small town, versus if you dump 1,000 people into it. So that would be one set of differences in terms of the two cruising experiences. The other cruising difference, if you like adventure, one of the things that's really nice about the Windjammer experience is you're often sailing at in the evening. The advantage of the cruising experience, one thing I liked about both experiences, is that you spend a lot of the time traveling actually at night. So it's quite common then to wake up in both the experiences we did in a new place. So I packed my bags once, I unpacked them into the room, and I didn't have to unpack them for 7 days, and yet for a series of days I kept waking up in new locales. So someone else was doing all the driving for me, basically, or the sailing in this case, and I would wake up and I would wonder where I am and what adventure is awaiting me today. That's, I think, one of the positive things about a cruise experience, or it can be a positive thing about a cruise experience if you have a sense of adventure and exploration, is waking up someplace new and seeing what's there. Now, in Windjammer, they would often cruise in the evening, and they would head out in the evening, and so right around sunset, you would be asked if you wanted to help pull on the rope and raise the big sails as you sail out of the harbor into the sunset. A very romantic or very picturesque sort of experience, and a very common one. You do most of your sailing, though, actually on this ship, in the evening or at night, and they do a one-day sailing on the trip that we went on so that you can get a chance to be out there on the deck and be working on your tan or whatever. But most of the time, you'd get up in the morning and you'd gather under the tarp that's spread over the deck for shade, and they'd say, well, you're waking up and you're at Norman Island, and let me tell you about Norman Island. And it may not be the island you thought you were going to go to when you went to sleep. Because you're on a ship that uses sails, it can get to places without the sails because it does have the engine, but it uses sails to add to that, you may find that you weren't able to get to where you want to. The winds were against you, the weather was a little rougher, and there was a change of plans at night. You're more likely to get that on a smaller boat than you are on a larger boat. A smaller boat is going to be more susceptible to weather. You might feel the weather a little more, although that wasn't necessarily our experience on the boat. We had one night that was a little warm, where I went up and I slept on the deck, where a lot of people slept on the deck actually the whole time. I didn't mention that. They didn't sleep in their stateroom, which are fairly small, Spartan sort of things. They slept, well, at least we were in the cheaper ones. I'm sure there were much nicer ones that we weren't paying in. But they slept up on the deck, in a deck chair, all night, just feeling the breeze and hearing the sails and such. But I had one night where I needed to go up there because it just got a little stuffy down where we were, and it was warm, and the ship was rocking, and I started getting a little motion sickness. I don't tend to motion sickness. On the other boat we had, on the larger boat in the Royal Caribbean cruise, we had one night where about a third or half of the people didn't make it to dinner because we were running into some rough seas. And that didn't bother me at all. I could feel it, but it didn't bother me. So you might feel it a little more in a smaller boat, although some people would say if you're underway, it doesn't matter whether you're a big boat or small boat, you're not going to feel it as much, but your actual mileage may vary. Another difference, if you're at the big cruise line, you may be looking to get for the captain's table and meeting the captain. If you're at the small cruise line or the small boat, you may be taught a sailing class by the captain or by Jan, who's the first mate, who taught one on ours, and you know what all the different sails are and how they're used. So a different type of interaction in the two different cruising experiences. One other advantage to the small boat cruising experience, like the Windjammer, as I said, is you can go places the other boats can't go. So I won't get into the whole story this time, but one of the places we went was the island of Vieques, which is in the Spanish Virgin Islands off of Puerto Rico, and we swam with bioluminescent plankton. Now, a large boat is not allowed to go to that island. They're just not equipped to handle that sort of off flow of people, as well as just having those large ships in those waters. We went to places like Virgin Gorda and the baths at Virgin Gorda, and I'll put up a picture. I'll put up an album of some of the pictures that we had from the cruise. And I won't go into complete details on the cruise because I'll save that for a later time. But that is one of the advantages of smaller boats. We would go to islands, for instance, that had no facilities at all. They were just desert islands, and we would go to these smaller places that wouldn't allow the bigger ships. In terms of the interaction with the stewards and such, that's also a little different. In the large boat, you would have things like coming back to your cabin and finding your towels folded into different cruise animal shapes, and that was fun. Fun for the kids, but my kids were pretty much grown up by that cruise, so we were all acting like kids and waiting to see what was going back. on the smaller boat, we would get a chance to actually talk to our stewards a little more and got to know our stewards. They were it was a little more intimate. We got to talk to Jafar, who was the head of the stewards, and where is he from, and the experience of some of these people. And they really encouraged you, probably more on that cruise, to get to know some of the crew and talk to them. And most of the crew on the Windjammer, for instance, were from the islands in the Caribbean. They were from around the area. We got to tour down in the lower reaches of the boat also, in terms of how all the engineering works in this, you know, basically, although it's a small boat, it's still the floating city sort of approach of it. It has its own water purifier, it has its own sewage reclamation and such, and those tours were made available for us through the ship's engineers. And we got to have probably the Windjammer equivalent of the last night on the big cruise ships, which is, you know, ice sculptures and carved watermelons into different shapes and such. On the Windjammer, it's more Jafar, who's the head steward, making his bananas foster on the deck and lighting this banana and liqueur concoction as we sail into the bay at St. Thomas. So that just gives you a flavor, and I'll go into more detail sometime on a later show about where we stopped and some of the other things in the Windjammer, but it gives you a flavor for why that cruise experience might be a little different. What I'm looking for the next few shows is people who have other cruising experiences. There are a variety of these alternative cruise experiences, and I know I've lined up some people who have gone on them, but I'm looking for someone, for instance, has anyone done the Celebrities Galapagos cruises? So a more traditional cruise line in an untraditional destination. Has anyone done the small boat cruising to Alaska, something that involves kayaking by glaciers? That's a different experience. Or how about the whale watching cruises in the Sea of Cortez, or doing the sailing in the Barca up the Nile River, doing the Antarctic cruises. So I'm looking for your feedback, and I'd like to get some of you on the show and talk about your cruise experiences, both on the large boats, and again, I'd like to focus somewhat on these alternative cruise experiences. The best way to reach me, you could either call me, and again, remember, there's listed two different phone numbers that you can call me and either connect to me through my Skype or leave me a voice message. These are 408-512-1083, which is in San Jose, or from Manhattan, 646-257-3965. So call and leave a message, or send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. There's other ways to contact me via Skype and Gizmo Project and AIM and Yahoo Messenger on the site, amateurtraveler.com. Check those out. But I would like to hear back from you and get some people on who've had more variety. Has anybody done barge cruising in Europe? Has anyone done cruising up the Rhine River and some of the long, narrow river cruise boats, or the river cruises on the Mississippi? So looking for some more feedback specifically for the next few weeks on cruising and your experiences, and love to get some of you on the show to talk about that. With that, I will move on as we go to wrap up the show here. I've got four different internet resources that I have linked to in the internet resources section of the show notes. The first one is a list of cruise message boards. If you haven't checked out cruises before you go on a cruise, it's a great idea, or while you're still deciding a cruise, to check out some of these venues for internet message boards. We chose, for instance, when we went on the larger cruise to Bermuda, between Norwegian Cruise Line and Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, based on advice we got from people who had been on both cruises. One of the things we learned, for instance, although Norwegian was cheaper, the boat needed a refurbishing. The boat was getting a little threadbare, and the people who had been on that had all more problems with the plumbing, more problems with just the overall, the ship was getting a little tattered. And so that helped us. The other thing you can find if you look at the various places for cruise message boards are, well, one example I have of cruise message boards, I have two that I've linked to directly besides this list of all of them. The first one is Cruise Line Forum, and the other one is Cruise Critic Message Boards. And Cruise Line Forums, I should say, I've participated somewhat on the forums there, and it's the most friendly discussion boards, one of the most friendly discussion boards I've ever seen. But Cruise Critic and Cruise Line both have things called roll calls. Before you go on a cruise, after you've booked it, you go to the message boards and you find the specific ship that you're going to be on, and you basically say to people, we're going to be on that cruise too. And for instance, we did that when we did the cruise on the Windjammer cruise, and we met some people through the internet before we actually got on the boat, and they ended up being some of the people then we interacted more and talked to on that. So it's a way of, when you get on the boat, already having some idea who some people are. So check out the message boards for reviews, check them out for roll calls. The other thing I have linked is a link to iCruise, and iCruise is a good resource for getting discount cruises. And again, I'm pretty much all about discount and bargain travel where possible. And check out iCruise. iCruise wouldn't necessarily have things like a discount on a Windjammer cruise. For Windjammer and some of the smaller cruise lines, you're going to go directly to their website, and they almost always will have cruise deals in place at any given time. So in Windjammer, for instance, whenever you go to their site, there is a section of the site that deals with cruise deals. As you figure out the price of cruises, one thing to think about, especially in the smaller boats, which are more about these excursions and such, our experience was that if we spent a couple thousand dollars, $1,000 each for the cruise, we then spent, for the four of us, another $1,000 on the excursions. So about $250 a person. Those are all optional, but you're going to want to do some of those if you're going there for those sort of excursions. So always plan, when you're looking at cruises, there's the cost of the cruise, the airfare, obviously. Everything's included except the excursions, typically, and your bar bill. But we don't spend a lot of money on that. But basically, plan in that your excursion will cost some amount of money. And for us on the Windjammer, this is about 5 years ago, it was about $250 per person, and that was doing pretty much one excursion every day. Now, some of the excursions are free because they're just, we're going to get you in the tender, we're going to take you over to the island, and we're not going to charge you for that because it's just the ship's boats. Usually the excursions, what they'll charge you, are when they're using a third-party tour company. For instance, we're going to do a tour of St. John's. Then if you want to do that, then you sign up for it, and here's how much it will cost. And excursions are common on both experiences, but I think on the smaller boat, where it's more adventure travel, it's probably more typical that you'd want to do a few more. So plan that in whenever you think about the cost of your cruise. That should about wrap up this show. I'd like to ask you to comment on the show and give me show ideas at the discussion boards and the community link on amateurtraveler.com. I have put in a new forum for cruise topics. And I'd like to leave you with a song from the PodSafe Music Network. The song's name is Diver, and the band name is Cameron Ember. Here is Diver. We'll be right back.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Have a nice day. Goodbye now.